Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 551. I am Chris, and I too have nothing planned for Zelda's anniversary. But Tony is here as always.
My beer just exploded all over me. Fuck everything.
This is going great. Earl is here.
And I'm here with Kevin Hart to talk about the Borderlands movie. Kevin, take it away. Oh, you don't have footage yet, right? Okay, we got to fill like 10 minutes anyhow. So what do you got to say? Oh, moving on.
Is this part of a show that I missed?
Yes, it was.
And Jeff is here.
Yeah. I'll spill my beer on myself soon. Right now I'm drinking a margarita.
Like a regular, like a green margarita? Like...
Yeah. Those ones that they'll sell, like
The
big old bottle pre-mixed. Just throw it on some ice. Yeah.
I like a strawberry margarita.
I don't mind those. I haven't had one in a long, long time. But yeah, I like strawberry flavored drink for sure.
Yeah, basically I like strawberry anything. So.
Yeah, strawberry daiquiri. Yeah.
Give me some frozen strawberry with alcohol, I will drink it.
Yeah.
E3 happened, guys.
Woo! Yeehaw.
It was great, it was had by all. It was the weirdest E3 I've ever experienced.
I will start off with the positive. It is easy to best E3 of the 2020s.
Yeah.
Is it better than last year? I don't even remember last year. What happened last year? Wasn't last year the summer of death and no E3?
Yes. Yeah. No E3 and just the E3 replacement went on for 6 months. It never stopped.
I mean, do we know this has stopped?
Like, it has not stopped.
you're right. It hasn't stopped, but officially...
No, not officially, because they said like if you were looking forward to that, there's more EA on this summer.
Oh, no. Okay, so no, it's not over, so whatever. Maybe last year wasn't worse, I don't know.
I mean, well, I will say the one positive about this year over last year is that like most of them were condensed to a handful of days. Like there might be more, but I think like it's better than like everybody doing their own thing every day of the week. Where we got like majority of them as well. I mean, we're recording Thursday, so like 5 or 6 days ago. Not even 5 or 6 days. About 2 days ago. But yes, so that is a positive over last year. And I think we can all kind of agree that Microsoft and Nintendo had really good shows.
Yeah.
The problem is the other like dozen shows that happened to be between them or around them. So.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody really justified the need for, like, even Ubisoft, which wasn't the worst thing that was out there this week. I'm not sure any of them justified the need for them to have their own presentation.
No, and the worst part about some of them, and I think this was one of my biggest complaints in general with this show this year, was that... there were just games that would show up repeatedly on different streams. Like, there was one game, and I honestly can't remember which one, because there was a lot of games. There was one game where I didn't see the PC gaming show, but I did watch the Future game. What's the difference? I don't know. But, and the Trillia, or the Talking Head on the Future game show, mentioned that they had just shown a trailer for the game in the PC gaming show an hour beforehand. And I'm just like, this isn't cute or funny. This is like, I get it. Like, it's not easy and whatever, but like, you don't need to show your games multiple times in the span of 3 days, especially if it's nothing new. Like, I saw that tiny, you know, Wonderland trailer like 3 times. And it's the same trailer every time.
Yeah, at least
I
mean, like
that happens. I've seen that before.
Like, at E3?
Yeah.
You'll see with the big ones, right? Like you'll see like Ubisoft is showing Assassin's Creed, and then like Microsoft or Sony has Assassin's Creed again.
Yeah,
but they would have it. But they would have the first gameplay footage.
Sure, something maybe a little bit. Wouldn't be the same trailer 3 times.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a difference if you're showing a game. Like, okay, like, yeah, EA and Ubisoft would be big on that. Like, oh, you know, here's the first look. If you want to see first game, tune into Microsoft or Sony on Monday or Sunday. that's, I mean, that's still messed up, but that's fine. Where this is like his Tiny Tina's Wonderland, again, with no added context and no new parts of this trailer.
Even at the Gearbox one, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah, that's the weird one. Like, that's where they should have shown some gameplay.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm just going to start on the negative note since we're already there. Okay, what was your favorite conference?
Least favorite?
I know, it's all in a contender.
Probably Square. And I did not want to, you know, full disclosure, I did not watch everything. Probably either Square or Summer Games Fest. Square just had a 30-minute demo for Guardians of the Galaxy. And Summer Games Fest was... Did we talk about that last week?
So
I think like that was like, hey, here's a bunch of nothing, and then, oh, here's Elden Ring, which looks really good compared to everything else that has been shown.
Yeah.
All a waste for me.
I mean, honestly, I did not see this fair one, but everybody complained about it. But I am going to have to give special note to Capcom as well, because they had, I mean, for their sake, they were shorter, which is why I wouldn't give it to them. But the fact that they had four games and two of them are already out is not the best show.
No. So it's like, why did you spend the time and money to produce this?
Yeah, especially being like the two games that were out, Resident Evil was like, we have DLC in the work. That's not an announcement you need a press conference for.
Nah, that's a press release. That's maybe you get Microsoft to mention it in their conference. Like, hey, there's DLC for that really cool Resident Evil game that just came out.
Yeah, and it's not even like they couldn't tease or anything. It's just like DLC has begun development. And I'm like, okay, good, I guess. Like, I'm happy that it exists, but okay. And then like Monster Hunter, they've been giving us updates on it every month for the past 4 or 5 months now. It's like, okay. So, and then like I mentioned with Gearbox was awful because, again, it was stuff we had already seen. They kept on teasing an announcement, but they like a game's in the works. I forget which game, but they didn't show anything. It's just like they would have in between segments, and it's like, oh, here's like this last game came out in 1996 or something like that, and what are we doing to bring it back? And I'm like, okay, this is when you then show like, oh, this is what we're doing to bring it back. Didn't do that. And then the worst part about it was a giant infomercial for the Borderlands movie, but they didn't have any footage, so it's literally Randy Pitchford on the set of the Borderlands interviewing E.I. Roth, who's the director, and then he interviews Kevin Hart, and he's like, oh man, this is gonna be so cool. And I'm like, okay, but at some point you need to show the actual thing, or like, what's the point of this whole show? And they show no footage from the game. I mean, so
wonderful. Also, like, your movie tie-in, your movie adaptation is maybe not E3 material. I don't know.
Everybody had, because Ubisoft had the segment on Mystic Quest, which I'm still not 100% sure on. Like, not in terms of, like, I don't know what their relationship with that is, because they also promoted it at E3 2019.
I think they're producing it.
Okay. Because I know it's not about Ubisoft development studios or anything like that.
No, I really just think that it's this Ubisoft is somehow involved in production of it. Yeah, it's not like, oh, the developer they're at is an Ubisoft developer. It's weird. Very weird. And Mystic Quest isn't even like it's not a real game, right? So
no. And it's also weird because it's at the end of its season, so they were promoting the season finale.
Well, that's strange. Tony, Jeff, did you guys watch enough to have a least favorite conference?
So I watched one conference. I watched the Xbox Bethesda conference, which I thought was great, but you know, I guess it's also my least favorite one because it's the only one I saw.
By default, yeah. Yes. I missed a lot of the... I missed most of the stuff. I saw Xbox and... or Microsoft, whatever, and Nintendo. So, you know, I thought those were both pretty good. I think they both had some misses, like things that you're like, where is that, or whatever. But I thought, you know... I actually thought the Xbox one was really good. Like, I was, like, surprised by how good that show was, and Nintendo was fine. So, I guess Nintendo was the worst one that I saw, but, like, that...
It was,
you know,
it was a good show, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I give the nod to Nintendo for the simple fact that, at the end of the day, most of the games they showcased are out this year, where Microsoft, I think, dated 2 games for this year? No, they dated 4 games for this year. And Halo's coming out at some point later on.
Well, they dated 4 of their games for this year. But half of the stuff they showed was for this year.
And almost everything they showed is coming to Game Pass, which is, you know, for me, I think if I give it to, like, if we're doing winners or whatever, which I don't really care, but if we're doing winners, I'd say Microsoft, like... They showed that there's stuff coming every month, like, you know, some really awesome shit, and it's all free. And then, like, you know, just knowing that there's, like, RPG shit on the horizon. Not really so much this year, but at least I don't think.
Oh, and my favorite announcement of the show was Redfall. It very much looks like, what do you call it? Borderlands.
Yeah, it looks like Borderlands crossed the... with, like, maybe Left 4 Dead or something like that, you know, four player. Looks like it might be wave-based. Like, they didn't show any gameplay, so not really sure.
Yeah, and that was the other problem with some of these games. I'm like, oh, it would be interesting, but it's like, I think the same thing with Starfield, where it's mostly CG trailers. I will say, I was also fascinated by their team-ups. I think that getting Pirates of the Caribbean for Sea of Thieves is very ingenious, and it's like one of those things that, like, I would never have thought of, but it's like it makes perfect sense. Yeah. And the same thing with getting a Top Gun for a Flight Simulator.
Yeah, that game looks so pretty. Oh my god.
Yeah, there's at least two fighter jets, I guess, coming to Flight Sim later this year. So. Those were two fun crossovers that came out of that. Last week, I mean, we already kind of talked about it, but Fast and Furious coming to Rocket League.
No, it's out now. It's it came out today, I think.
Nice.
So yeah, that is out. Yeah, and that was a fun one. So yeah, it was nice to kind of have these crossovers where clearly people were just like, had time off over to last year to be like, oh, you know what, we could do some other stuff with these properties. And I think a lot of them, I mean, they all work, they all make sense, you know, cars in Rocket League, cars in, I mean, airplanes in Flight Sim, and the biggest pirate property in the world in your pirate game. Why not?
Yeah. No-brainers, actually. And I've tried Sea of Thieves. I don't like Sea of Thieves. But that trailer was good. Like, it was like, I kind of want to play a Pirates of the Caribbean game that, you know, looks like this, has story like this. I don't have any faith that that's actually how it's going to play. But
I mean, the bright side is, if I'm not mistaken, it's free and the game's on Game Pass. So, I mean, the worst thing is you eat up some hard drive space.
Yep, you reinstall it, go, nope, still not for me, and delete it. But, yeah, it's a good, smart, free update, too, so. Halo multiplayer, which we already knew was going to be free to play, but they kind of actually showed it in motion for the first time.
I thought it looked good.
Yeah, that grappling hook's really cool.
That wasn't going to be my question. Is that the first time that there's been a grappling hook?
Yeah, yes. In Halo multiplayer or Halo Halo at all. Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a grappling hook. They showed it last year in the campaign demo,
Oh, I didn't remember that.
They showed that it was a piece of equipment, but it's in multiplayer. They're going to use it there.
Yeah, yeah, there was that part. I think there was a part where like, somebody grapples up to like, somebody in a flying vehicle and ejects them out. And I'm like, okay, that's the kind of stuff that Halo's for. It's like those really fun emergent moments. It's the same thing like when you jack a vehicle.
Yeah, and like that grappling hook will for sure add to that.
There's a cool scene in towards the end of that kind of cinematic gameplay trailer. They show the Spartan in the samurai armor.
Yes.
And he grapples the sword from the pickup location and then it uses it to attack the guy that's coming rushing at him. Which
the is very
cool.
End of the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was like someone got killed and the sword went flying. I was like, oh, that's pretty neat. Like, either way, it looked cool as shit.
Yeah, it looked like he shot it and then it came to him, which still awesome. And
it was neat, like,
yeah,
like you said, like emergent thing that happens in Halo where it just gets like crazy, like wonky things happen, you know?
And it does seem like a big part of their selling for this game is the, well, the multiplayer, but like the armor sets and stuff like that. Because I think that was the samurai had a big focus at the end of that showcase.
Yeah.
And then they had a whole showcase the day after, I believe, that was focused just on the multiplayer.
So yeah, the after the actual the original showcase, there was like three showcases that Microsoft did. They had an Xbox Halo event, which was only like 15 minutes long, but it was like the multiplayer reveal in motion, where they kind of talked about some of the changes coming and the Battle Pass system, and then today. There was Xbox Extended, where they kind of talked to some of the devs, and Halo was the last one shown there. I thought there's some cool stuff coming from the way they're handling kind of the Battle Pass and customization. In the past, like, you kind of had that announcer guy or the team captain kind of calling out stuff, like, you know, weapon pickups or you know, flags over here or whatever. But now I guess everybody's going to have their own AI that you can customize. So you can like customize the voice on it. And those will be unlocks in the battle pass, which doesn't expire. So you'll be able to collect all the things in the battle pass, season to season, even if the season's over, you'll still be able to get everything that was in it. So I thought those are cool, smart objects that I think they're adding to multiplayer.
Yeah, it'll be fun to finally play it in September of 2022.
I think we're gonna play multiplayer this year, Jeff. I don't think we're playing that campaign though. I really don't think we're playing that campaign this year.
You mean the Epic campaign?
Do you really release a Halo game like that though? Like
I mean they're running a sometime this summer, they're running a stress test basically for the servers for multiplayer. So it sounds like multiplayer is ready to go. And the way they're advertising it is these are two separate downloads.
I know, and a lot of games do that now, but it's just, I don't know. That seems
crazy. But if that campaign's not ready to go, I bet that like you have to have Halo out this fall, this winter on that system.
It's going
to
be like Halo 2, where the game is literally unfinished. The multiplayer is great; it's awesome. The campaign, sorry.
Which, you know what? If you're going to position it where it's basically two executables, and like, you know, Halo multiplayer is its own thing. Halo campaign's another thing. Get that campaign right. Release it when it's ready.
Right.
And let us play Halo in the meantime so that it kind of stays at the forefront of people's minds on the system.
I mean, I get at the end of the day, if I'm getting to play Halo this fall, cool, whatever. But it just seems like so weird to release that in such a broken up fashion where the campaign is like an afterthought that comes long after you don't really care anymore. Like, I don't know. It's,
well, I mean, I think that doesn't
really matter either, because it's going to be free for us. But, like, you know, it's just, it's weird to me.
I was going to say, if anything, I feel like it would be the opposite, because I feel like if you could get bored of the campaign, like if you release the multiplayer and then come back later on, like 2 or 3 months later with a single player campaign, I think people would be more interested than if you can get bored of it. It gets like a second wind of essentially.
Right, like, because, you know, there's always people that they're going to hop onto a multiplayer game, they're going to play it for a month or two, and then check out anyway. So I'm not saying this is the way they should do it, Jeff, but I can see somebody being like, all right, I'm going to play Halo multiplayer, like, and they play it through November, December, and then Microsoft goes, and Halo Infinite's campaign comes out in March, and then they're like, all right, I'm play some more Halo, and then they play March and April, they play multiplayer again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably going to be me. extended a little bit.
It's just weird. It's like eating your main course before you eat your appetizer type of deal to me. It's like when I get a new game like that, like I play the campaign and then, you know.
Exactly. I was about to say, I guess it depends, though, because I think more people probably pay the multiplayer than they pay the single player.
Yeah, I think we're the weird ones, Jeff, that like play the Call of Duty campaign.
But even when I play like the campaign in Halo, first off, I think the campaigns in Halo are very fun.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's denying that. I'm just saying that.
Like, I'm saying it's like that's the appetizer that gets you excited. You're done with the campaign, then you get to the main course.
So the multiplayer is the dinner.
I mean, but there are a lot of people who go the opposite way. They'll hop into the multiplayer and you never see them in the campaign ever again.
Yeah. Or there are people who probably never touch the single player.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
we have an agreement that you guys don't think it's coming out like fully coming out this
No, it's coming. Something is coming out.
Something is coming out.
I mean, we'll have the multiplayer. It's very possibly just release the multiplayer if the campaign's not ready. Like there are plenty of multiplayer only games out there, and I mean, Halo is well known for its multiplayer. I don't see why you wouldn't launch it if it's ready.
I don't have any confidence, Jeff. Like if they, and I think Microsoft doesn't have confidence that campaign's ready either. Cause you don't say holiday 2021 and then every other game you're releasing, like
exactly, you
know, Forza Horizon 5, which I mean, I kind of like was banking on that showing up and being released this year, but there was no knowledge of it like publicly before that show. And it's out in November. Psychonauts 2 out in August. Flight Sim out in July. Like everything has dates to it except for Halo.
It's like anything their E3 show or whatever, like maybe less confident that Halo's coming this year.
Starfield has a date to it and it is a year and a half out.
Yeah.
And Halo does not have a date.
Yeah. So like right away, I remember saying in the group chat right away, I'm like, there's no release date. Like saying holiday, it's fucking June. You're saying holiday, like you don't know.
Yeah,
and we didn't see the campaign in action. Like there was a little bit in that trailer during the Xbox show. You know, they showed Chief a little bit and kind of gave us a little bit of the story with the new AI he picks up. But like we did not see that campaign actually in motion. So the last time we saw that campaign was last year, and we know that. They kind of went back and started some new stuff with it. I'm not confident.
Nope.
That campaign is this year.
Like if we're gonna like do bets and stuff, I would say no. I would bet against it coming out.
But I bet you Halo was on that system this fall. Like they will have Halo front and center for holiday, and free Halo. That's a message. Game Pass or no Game Pass, just free Halo. Like, hey, here's our biggest franchise, and you can play it with your friends for free. That's a pretty big selling point. What else do you guys like though?
We kind of just rolled over it right there for a second. Forza Horizon 5, man.
That looked very good. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I know people get, like, like some people don't like racing games or whatever, or like, oh, they're spending too much time on it and stuff. It's like, you have to understand, like, in my opinion, it's like one of their, like, racing or not, it's one of Microsoft's best franchises now. So like, I think it deserves like a big spotlight in their show. And it's, it was a nice surprise. Like, I kind of just assume there's a new Forza coming out every year. If not the Horizon, then like the other one, which they just dropped. Yeah.
It's been crazy because there hasn't been a game, I think, since 2017.
Of motorsport or whatever?
Either one. I think I think Horizon 4 was 2017.
Well, it was a nice
2018, surprise. So it's been 3 years. Three years since the last Forza game.
Game looks great. The best racing game out there. This, you know, probably for the last two gens. I don't know, like the fun, like, you know, they're like showing off, like, like make games in it. Like, you see, like,
yeah, it has its own it basically has Forza Forge. Yeah. Like, I think they're calling it like Test Lab or something, but it's Forza Forge.
I do wish, like, I don't know, maybe it's the case. I do wish that there was just wacky game modes like that that they had in there that you could play.
They do. Like, they have some, but you have to play multiplayer to get to them.
Yeah.
They have some crazy. They have like bumper cars. I don't remember, like, we played some with Don with Forza 3, where it was like you would ram into each other, and there was a Forza Bowling and just like some other crazy stuff. They have it there. It's just you have to
play with
other people to experience it.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Great location.
Mexico. So we're still going to get that, when are they going to do Japan? Which, fans of the series have been begging for years. So that's still out there. I think Mexico is a good location for it though.
When is that? October, November?
November 9th.
Yeah, that was a big one for me, at least from Microsoft. The Diablo 2 game got a release date. I was happy about that.
Yes, and that's,
I know it's not like a big thing, but yeah.
I mean, it's a big thing for me. It's not in September, so that's soon. Yeah, I also would say I think the big thing for Microsoft, at least for me, is I think they also started to show a lot of diversity in the types of games they market, because they had stuff like Slime Rancher. They had this virtual successor to Soak It In, and I'm like, okay, yeah. So it's not, you know, because like for years it's always kind of been like sports and shooters and open world games. So it's nice that they're getting this diversity of projects out on the show floor as well.
Fully agree. I also think that people watch these showcases with biased glasses on, like whether it's Microsoft, Sony.
Yeah, because
like you're saying, like the diversity in games is great, and I agree. I think they showed a wide range of games, like and different styles and different genres. But it's all shooters. It's all Microsoft showing as shooters. Like, did you miss the 15-minute presentation on Forza Horizon 5? did you miss the Suikoden like revival type, like the inspired by Suikoden thing? Miss Slime Rancher? Did you miss the tactical shooter, like the tactical cyberpunk game that they have, or the side scrolling like games and cool artwork? Like,
A flight simulator.
Did you miss Flight Sim? Like, it's not all just shooters. And then the same with Nintendo is like no Mario, like no Zelda. They didn't show shit. Like, they showed 40 minutes of nonstop games. Like, they have stuff.
I don't know if you want to save it for Nintendo, but I understand the frustration with not seeing Metroid Prime at this point. I feel that too.
I mean,
diving into this a little bit.
Yeah, but the touch on Metroid real quick, I mean, to their credit, they did tell us that it restarted development in, what, December 2019? They told us around that
so
time.
So you can't show a minute of the fucking game? Like, they shouldn't have ever fucking announced it, honestly.
I think they announced it with the intent that like, this is going to be like a 2-year project. They restarted it, and they were very forthcoming with that. And then COVID happened. And I think, I said it on Twitter. I said it to you folks. I think that's the big story of E3, is that the industry, for what they are, very secretive, or just not really forthcoming with the people, that COVID fucked our shit up, which is why you had so few games kind of showcased for this year. And I think if you had given those expectations where it's like development has really kind of backed up and there's a lot of projects that we know, like working from home on these huge projects is just not ideal, I think you would have helped people with those expectations where there were certain titles that you would expect to be there that weren't. And the fact, like Ubisoft, for instance, we kind of gloss over them. Decent showcase, but then a lot of it was like, it was like DLC for Siege. It was DLC for Assassin's Creed. Stuff like that. Mario and the Rabbids, apparently they've been working on for 3 or 4 years now. So it's stuff like that, that kind of is like, it was just like stuff we can kind of build on and not necessarily whole new projects. At Riders Republic, we knew about, they announced it, I think, 2 years ago. So that started development before COVID, and it's still not, I don't think it's out this year, is it?
No, it's out September.
Okay.
September 11th, 13th.
Okay, let's say we avoid the oven. But that, I mean, that game is interesting. But again, like, yeah, you look at, because I remember people complaining about, like, how, like, it, I mean, it's true, but a lot of it was Rainbow Six, because it was like, it started off with Rainbow Six Extraction. It was an update to Rainbow Six Siege and stuff like that. But it's like, again, it's just, it's because we've known about Extraction back then. What was it? Quarantine,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine why they changed the name. But yeah, stuff like that. So a lot of those games, and I mean, to the larger point, I think it's the same thing with Metroid. The one I would be frustrated at is Bayonetta, because we've gotten no update on that.
Yeah, I think that was one that was announced the same time as Metroid Prime 4, right?
Like, it's like something like that, like Bayonetta 3. You can't blame that on COVID, like,
right? No, like, that was what the fuck is going on with that?
It's still been years, like, you
yeah,
know,
that's I mean, what I'm saying.
To their credit, they didn't mention it at all either. They weren't like, let's draw attention to this shit.
I don't know what to think of. It's not like a huge game. Like,
no,
it's a pretty short like action game. Like, I just don't believe it's real anymore. Like, I don't know.
Platinum's out there making lots of other shit. So
yeah, I was about to say. I think that would be the other thing. Is like, is it just that Platinum is not Platinum anymore? Because the reception to, what is it, Strangers in Paradise, Final Fantasy?
That is Team Ninja.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking, what's the other one? Oh, Godfall? No, Babylon's Fall.
Yes.
That game looks, yeah, it's a good thing it's free. And even then, I mean, probably not. But yes, like somebody pointed out, like they've had that. You know, and then they were taking off Gunbrew Fantasy, that action RPG a few years ago. They just, you know, like they're just not. I don't know if it's like they're overexerting themselves because they have like three projects in development in house, or if it's just that, like, you know, I can't even say they're perfection, because
they dump some weird shit out.
Yeah, Platinum's been riding on a hot streak. I don't want to use this example because they still do. But it's kind of like Pixar. With Pixar, you still kind of give the benefit of that. Not that their movies are bad, but they're not like the magical stuff they were when Pixar first started with like Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo. And I think it's the same thing with Platinum, where it's like everybody gives them credit for like Bayonetta, Vanquish, and stuff like that. And then it's like the flip side is they did the Legend of Korra game, they did that Ninja Turtles game. I think they did Transformers. They did a Transformers game that were not like great titles.
it's like people like put blinders on with Platinum. It's like, oh, they did Nier Automata. That game's great. Platinum's awesome. But like the Transformers game, Turtles game, oh, well, that's not real Platinum. That's B Team Platinum. Like, it's all Platinum. Like,
yeah,
it could be B Team, but it's all Platinum. Like,
and that's the problem. It's like, yeah, like, it's a, like, they're A, but their A Team is not working apparently that well. Because I mean, when you think about it, like Nier Automata, what was before that? Bayonetta 2, Wonderful One. No, Bayonetta 2, and that was what, 2014?
Yeah.
So you're looking at two games in the past, let's say decade almost, that of note. And I'm sure somebody's going to come and say, hey, they made X, Y, and Z, but...
Right, there's like, always exceptions, but it's not the same.
Like their resume, and I'm trying to look this up. I would imagine their resume recently is more questionable than great titles. So let's see, what have they? And I'm not gonna talk about stuff like Wonderful 101 Remastered because that just came out. Okay, they did Astral Chain, which I did enjoy, but again, I don't think anybody paid that. They did the Ninja Turtles game. They did Star Fox Guard and Star Fox Zero. Transformers Devastation, The Legend of Korra. Okay, so yeah, their peak. Okay, and they did Metal Gear Rising. So I think that like, it's that era of Platinum that people are fond of. Bayonetta, Vanquish, Metal Gear Rising, Bayonetta 2, The Wonderful 101. That
like
was
that, they started off great, right? Mad World, Bayonetta, Vanquish, Metal Gear Rising, Wonderful 101, and it's kind of been a little bit of a downfall since 2014.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, yeah, again, if you look at it from 2015 on, it's definitely more bad than good. I would say two good games, and there would Astro Chains and Nier Automata, and then some questionable games. And to their credit, Star Fox Zero is probably more to what Miyamoto wanted to use the motion controls in that way, but they still made the game on their resume.
Yeah, as for Nintendo, though, like as a whole, like people have their like pet things with Nintendo where if they don't show that, then we're bad. It's like, oh, they, you know, for me, it would be like, they didn't show Pikmin. What the fuck? Where's Pikmin 4? You know, whatever.
I saw people say that, Jeff. I did see people say that.
But you gotta like also step back and think it's like, the stuff they showed is like the kind of really neat kind of smaller franchises that you like there's been people begging for Advance Wars for fucking ever. And now we have Advance Wars. You know what I mean? Like I think that, you know, I love the WarioWare series, but I wasn't expecting it, but I was like, oh, that's cool. Like we're getting a little bit of a GameCube vibe going here. Give me some fucking WarioWare, you know, like
I will say, a huge WarioWare fan, have it pre-ordered. The one thing I will say, which I think is, it's weird that they're doing WarioWare and Mario Party in the same year. Like, I feel like you would probably try to alternate your big party games. I mean, I guess they're not the big party game is Smash and Mario Kart, but still, like, you would think like, you would do a Mario Party and a WarioWare in separate years, just to kind of space it out. But as a whole, like I said, my big thing with them is a lot of the stuff they showcase is this year. I think outside of The Secrets of the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and Sonic, Mario and Rabbids, Spark of Joy or whatever it's called. I think everything else was 2021 for them. And they really filled out the year because you have what Mario, where you have Mario Party, you have Metroid Dread, which we'll get to in a second, I'm sure. You got Advance War rebooted. You got golf
in a week.
You got golf in a week. You got Skyward Sword in a few weeks. They just announced, because I don't know why they do their own thing, Pokemon Unite comes out next month. You still have shiny, what is it, shiny Pearl and and whatever Diamond,
the Diamond and Pearl remakes.
Yes, you get Cruisin', I forget what that subtitle is. It's not Cruisin' World. Cruisin' Blast is out this year.
I forgot that game was shown.
I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but a lot of people seem to be excited for it. Though, again, based off the sale numbers, I don't know why. Shin Megami Tensei 5 is out this year as well. So, again, it's a really robust end of the year lineup. And I think a lot of it, I think, as a whole, I think it was a good show. I also think like there were parts where it's just like, oh, I'm just going to check out. Like, when they went into, like, And again, it's kind of been the reputation of the Switch since day one. Like when they went to take Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, which is like a 2-year-old game getting ported over. And it's like it was one thing when it was like big games getting ported when the system came out. But it's also like, this is a game that came out during the lifetime of the system that's coming out way after everybody else got it. But I mean, I'm sure it has its audience. I always zone out when the Just Dance stuff comes up. I know it has its fans, but...
Did Michael Myers just enter your house?
Yes.
Look, dude, at the end of the day, we're getting a brand new Metroid game in a couple of months that we did not know. I mean, we knew about it like 20 years ago.
But... and we also knew about it in the sense that like, people have been talking about it. But yes, the fact that it's real and it's out.
I was not expecting it. Like, you always hope, oh, wouldn't it be cool if they gave us a 2D Metroid to tide us over, or, you know? But it actually happened. It's coming out. Like, how can you be upset right now? It's like, dude.
I was going to say, it's funny, though, that you say tide you over, because technically it is the mainline Metroid game.
Yeah.
Metroid 5.
2D Metroids are great.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, those are the main games, and the Prime games are kind of the side stories. But, yeah, I think everybody, I mean, personally speaking, I like Metroid games. I much prefer the Prime games. But, yes, I mean, the core Metroid games are, because this is Metroid 5. Even though, as I've noted, it really, I mean, I'm like the only fan of the world of this game, apparently, but it kind of shortens Other M, because Other M's not a Prime game, and it's not a core game, so it just kind of exists now. Because there's three Prime games with the fourth one on the way, and this is the fifth game, which would be Metroid Super, Metroid 2, and Fusion. And now Other M's just out there in the void by itself in the code.
All right, so what counts as Metroid 4.
Fusion.
I guess Super Metroid is Metroid 3.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I didn't notice this, but apparently the Metroid games do actually are actually numbered. Because, like, I mean, Metroid 2 is, you know, Metroid 2. But apparently, there's a title screen at some point in Super Metroid that says Metroid 3.
I think it goes
Super Metroid, and then there's one for Metroid Fusion that's Metroid 4 that then goes into Metroid Fusion. And then, yeah, so it's a thing that they've been doing, and I just have completely ignored it. Yeah,
never caught that. Like, I played Super Metroid and Metroid Fusion. I don't think I ever caught either.
I think I retweeted it, but yeah, somebody showed that, yeah, these are still title screens. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad.
Best 2D Metroid ever is Zero Mission.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that was funny because that was the thing that actually came up this week. Is that like this is the, you know, they've mentioned this is the first 2D Metroid game in first brand new 2D Metroid game in 19 years. Fusion would have been 2003, I think. And it's like okay, awesome. Do you know how to pay the older 2D Metroid games? And it's like you can pay Super and you can pay Metroid on the Switch. You can't pay Zero Mission, which is the version you pay if you want to pay the original. You can't pay Fusion. You can't pay Samus Returns. So out of the core series, I mean, actually, out of all the Metroid games, you can pay two of them on the Switch. You can pay almost the entire series on the Wii U, though, which is such a weird thing to think about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would pay for Zero Mission and Fusion. I would pay for both of those for sure.
Our buddy Javi was asked if he was going to stream Super Metroid or Metroid Fusion before Dread comes out. He was like, Fusion, like he'd have to hook up his Wii U to play it to be able to stream it or emulate it because there's no easy way to play that one.
Yeah,
it's the Wii U, or if you're lucky enough, like I happen to have a 3DS with like the Ambassador games. But yeah, it's like one of those things where I think that's an easy, and I mean, who knows? You hope that they would think of something like that, but it's Nintendo. But yeah, I think it would be a great way to be like, okay, and you know what? We're bringing GBA, we're bringing Game Boy and Game Boy Advance to the Nintendo Switch Online. And we're going to launch with these games to prepare you for Metroid. And because, like, I mean, what Jeff said, it's out this year. It's out in October. It's like, what, 3 months away? 4 months away, if I can count?
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 months cool. out.
It was such a nice surprise. I don't know. And here's like my advice to the Nintendo fans, and this is helped my outlook on like this E3. Wow, which came away going, I'm happy. Here's the thing you need to learn, Nintendo fans. Expect nothing out of life and expect only bad things to happen. Stop thinking that you're owed some fucking thing, and then you'll be like, well, cool, we got a Metroid. And it worked for me.
Which is kind of how I went in, like, hey, whatever Nintendo shows, like, is more than I was expecting. And
I was really, it's always nice to think that they're going to throw you a 2D Metroid, but then all of a sudden be like, especially it was Metroid Dread of all things, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, they are never usually that clear on like a callback. Like, there are games that are clearly influenced by stuff they've done or shown before, but this is like, yeah, no, this is Metroid Dread. Like, this game was in development back in what, 2004, 2000, and they've been open about that too. They're like, yeah, like, this was a game we're gonna do on the DS, and it didn't work out at the time. And I will say, I mean, honestly speaking, I had no idea who Mercury's theme was before they did Samus Returns. And good on them for being able to somehow get Nintendo's trust to shepherd. I mean, it's not one of Nintendo's biggest franchises, but it's one that has a very dedicated and loyal fan base. And being able to just kind of get that grip where, like, you're working on a Metroid game is a huge boom for them, I think.
If you are working, I can say this with some authority without explaining it, but if you're working on a Nintendo franchise for Nintendo, you get a lot of notes, a lot of feedback. It's almost like they're controlling you from afar.
And I mean, it's not almost. Like, Nintendo has never hidden the fact that that is exactly what they do.
Yeah.
Which is why they tend to partner with Japanese developers. Why do you think so many of their Switch's games are from either Bandai Namco or Koei Tecmo? It's because it's people nearby. Yeah, they've never hidden that. I mean, but I think the thing is, and again, I could be wrong, I don't think we've ever had a developer come out and say that they were not better off for it.
Yeah, and I mean, they're co-developing this with Nintendo EPD, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Mercury's theme, or, well, let's say, I liked the Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate, which was the Castlevania 2D game they did. They also did Lords of Shadow with Kojima Productions, the original one. I have not played Lords of Shadow 2. Samus Returns is good. I don't particularly like that game, but
it's they're working with a bad blueprint on that.
Yeah, that's to say that one. But yes, I mean, that's why, and like, you can clearly see that, like, because like, clearly they took the influence from that, with like the parry attack seems to be a big part of this game, and I mean, I'm hoping the mothball's in there. It sounds like it is, but it also seems like they are doing the they are really trying to push that side she does now.
Yeah, you have it right from the start, I guess. Like, you always, that's not even like an upgrade. Like, you just have the slide.
Which again makes sense if it,
that's cool.
It looks nice. I really like. It's one of those things where I will say I'm of two minds with this, because I've seen a lot of people, like, you know, inherently the industry just does not value 2D games as much as 3D games. That is just the way it is. And it's hard for people to be like, yeah, you shouldn't do that, because I think especially in the middle of everybody having this discussion about what games are worth $70, that yeah, you should question the value of games, and it's going to come down to each individual. But I think it looks really great. I think it, you know, like somebody pointed out, like, the sound design in the original trailer isn't great. It was the treehouse footage. They actually showed the gameplay, and you get to really see how lively those backgrounds are. And again, get to see how nimble she is, because it looks like one of the other things they've taken, even though nobody loves it, is it does seem like from a video standpoint, they are taking a lot of influence from Other M, and how really Other M made her super like flexible and badass when she fights. I think Other M is easily the most nimble Samus is in any game, and I think some of that they showcased in. This thing, stuff like when she fights certain enemies, and like if you parry or dodge, there's like little animations. There's a boss battle where she like you can slide underneath her legs, and then she will attack them, and it's like really, really cool to see. And again, I don't think
Nintendo would let them screw it up. It's like you said, it's co-developed, so
yeah, that's why. I mean, there are bad co-developed Nintendo games, but I feel like I can't think of any franchise game except Star Fox. Because like,
there's exceptions, but I don't think it's gonna be Metroid. I mean,
outside of the CDI games, like when Capcom did the Zelda games, or even with Koei Tecmo when they do the Hyrule Warriors games, I think those are really good, high quality games. They might not be everybody's cup of tea, but those were good games. So I can't see them like half-assing it like they would with something like Amiibo Party Festival or something like that.
Yeah.
Aside from that, like I said, I'm excited for Mario Party, partially just because it has online from the get-go. And it's not a remake. What would you call this?
It's kind of like a remaster collection.
It's doing Mario Party right.
It's the N64 game board,
like the golden era of Mario Party.
Well, it's kind of like a best of compilation because it's not everything from the first few games. Actually, it seems it's a really weird mashup because it's boards from the first three games. So it's like boards from 1, 2, and 3, but apparently mini games from any game in the series. So. Okay.
I feel the same way about the Super Monkey Ball thing that's coming out. Like, at first, I thought the Super Monkey Ball game was going to be a new Super Monkey Ball because I wasn't watching live. Then I went and watched the trailer, and I was like, oh, it's just, like, a collection of, like, all the old shit.
Yeah, that one's different, though, because they clearly say that's 1, 2, and Deluxe.
The good thing about that is you know that they cannot fuck it up. Like, they're going back to the thing that was great. Like, and just, like, we're going to put a new polish on it, and it's, you know... Here you go. We're giving you your memories back, and they're going to be better. Like,
and I think that one's totally fair. It's the 20th anniversary of the game, so it makes sense.
There's part of me if Sega was doing a brand new one, I think they would totally fuck it up. Like, because the last few that they did were not good. Like, Banana Blitz is not very good. Like,
yeah, that's to say, because I did not realize there were that many Monkey Ball games until they went through to this. And I'm like, oh, like, you've been coming out almost every other year for the past 20 years.
Yeah, and you've not been good since part two. Three was awful. Like, I don't even know why. I don't think that. At first, I thought, like Super Monkey Ball Adventure, they were counting as three, but now I don't know. Like, I saw something saying that it was like. No, it's Super Monkey Ball Deluxe that they're counting as like the third, which is I don't know.
And isn't that just a remake of?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought too.
Yeah, I don't know, but that was a fun announcement. I'm excited for Advance War. I preferred Advance War to Fire Emblem, but Fire Emblem gets all, you know, because I think Fire Emblem is character driven. It's much easier for people to be into that versus Advance War, which is more esque base. You get COs and stuff like that, but it's not the same.
I think I would lean towards there's part of me that wants to try Advance Wars, like over Fire Emblem. You played it?
I prefer it.
Cool.
But yeah, that seems more in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem leans a lot more into the, I don't want to say Japanese-ness of it, but there are a lot more of like anime-esque elements, like storytelling stuff.
Yeah,
Advance Wars is more like focused on strategy and what you're doing.
Exactly. Like that's kind of like the vibe I got from it too. I'm like, well, I might give this a chance. I kind of like how Advance Wars looks, the new one / sorted. That's another one that's like it's just kind of the old games.
Yeah, but, I mean it's a remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it reboot camp?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean again I think that's one that I will give credit to just because again, I think the original game is more than 20 years old at this point, or somewhere. The original game, the first are GBA games.
Yeah, so, I mean it's they're old.
Yeah. And yeah, so And if it eats them finding a way to make new ones, because again, it's not them developing it. Who is doing? Oh, WayForward's actually doing this one.
Yep.
So that's interesting. So yeah, I think those were the big things at Nintendo. Unless I'm missing something.
Well, you are.
We did get the new Zelda.
You're missing the Game & Watch.
Oh yes, yes.
What they have in store for Zelda fans, because they don't have anything planned for the anniversary.
We don't have anything else planned for the anniversary, but we have been working on this Game & Watch that has like fucking one of those Game & Watches. Like, how much is that Game & Watch? Like $100, I bet.
$50.
$50.
It's not too bad.
Okay, I guess it's not too bad.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's better than the Mario one.
Yeah, because the Mario one only had Mario, right?
Yeah. Mario
has like the 2D Zeldas, right? Like,
yeah, or at least, it has the one. Yeah, it has the two NES ones, and it has
one, two, and Game Boy. Yeah,
yeah. It doesn't have Link's Awakening, but yeah, it's $50 for those on the go. Like, I mean, honestly, I just pre-ordered it to get to match my Mario one. I'm a terrible person. Just the same, just the same way I pre-ordered the Metroid Amiibos.
I could not pre-order the Metroid Amiibos. I missed out.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I mean, I pre-ordered it just to pre-order it. I'll see if I keep it. Because, again, I was telling people, I mean, this is always, it's like, worst case scenario, I just go to Nintendo World that day.
Right.
It sounds like Chris would be a taker, though, if you really need to get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly buy
it. I mean, it sounds like I could get, like, $300 for it on eBay.
You probably could that, too. Like,
Or you could get it, give it to someone you know who would really appreciate them and love them the way they deserve to be loved, whose name is Chris.
Yes, but that money, that sweet, sweet money.
Yeah, I'm not giving Earl $300 for him. I'll give him what he pays for him. Plus
or weren't you the one who was like, oh, I'm stuck at home with the pandemic. I'm not spending any money. I have all this money now. Wasn't that you? I mean, should this really be about the money? Should this be more about bringing joy back to a world that has had it removed?
Which is also
why, pandemic.
Which is also why I pre-ordered the Metroid Special Edition set.
Because I'm not do that.
I didn't want to because I think I mentioned before I'm trying to go all digital, but yeah. I'm like, oh man, it's just a good set, and I just didn't want to not, like, if I decided to, I can cancel it at any time. It's not like an addict.
Did you get it on Amazon?
No, I got it on GameStop, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, you can cancel any of those until right up until it's time to ship anyway. So,
yeah. So, yeah, we will see with that one. But, yeah, it's, yeah, and it's actually a really cool, it's really good looking special edition. Yeah, we had a new toy for, what is it? Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
The sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Not named Breath of the Wild 2.
Yes, but they won't tell us the name because the name's going to reveal some big secret. So, I don't know.
Breath of the Wild, exhale.
Oh my god.
What does that mean?
It does look cool. And I mean, Kiryu showcases why they re-released Skyward Sword. Because Kiryu, this is taking influence from that. I mean, Breath of the Wild took a lot of influence from Skyward Sword in general. It just, I think, was a better game for a lot of people. But, like, the stamina meter, the climbing and stuff like that. The kind of that free jump. And now they kind of have, like, the... You have Sky Islands in this one that you can travel to.
That didn't sound like a good groan there, Jeff.
I mean, the overworld in Skyward Sword is awful. Like,
but, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing we know they didn't take from Skyward Sword.
Oh, you're saying? I'm sorry. I thought we were just talking about Skyward.
No.
And Breath of the Wild 2. I mean, think of that. Like, it really opens up. Like, you were already looking into every nook and cranny of that world in the first one. Like, now you gotta look to the sky too. Like, there's shit up there. Like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, but it's also a way for them to. So it does look like they are using the overworld a bit, but they are changing it up, and that's a big part of it. It's like now you have the Skeleton, so I assume that you'd also use those to transport between different, probably maybe a second overworld or something like that.
Also, like, you get to, like, you know, you imagine teleporting to, like, a sky island and just fucking jumping off of it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think that's what they do in a trailer. You see him free falling.
He like goes up into the fucking thing and like,
yeah, I wasn't sure how that worked. Like,
what the hell was that?
But I mean, I think
what's up with his hair? Why does he look like a fucking lion?
Well, I think it's the show time has passed and some stuff has gone down.
And he's now a lion.
He looks like a Thundercat.
And he has the ancient arm. So, yeah, I think it did a good job of answering a lot of questions, except for the one that most people probably wanted to know, when the host is coming out.
Well, not this year.
And we don't know if it's next year either, because they are very, very careful on we hope to promise this in 2022.
I think it will. I think they've been working on this since like 2017. I really do.
Oh, I'm sure they've been working on it a while. But I think they want to like make sure they get it right. So they were really careful on the wording to be like, just in case it doesn't hit 2022. Or like say they happen to be working on a new, like the next system, that they have something that they can do cross-gen for.
Look, if you're really desperate, go play your game and watch.
Yeah.
Go play Skyward Sword, the best Zelda ever made.
What? No.
I enjoy Skyward Sword.
I know I'm going to fucking buy it. I know I'm going to buy it. And I'm like, I don't remember loving it.
Oh, I very clearly remember you not loving it because you wrote a review for it.
Yeah,
I remember playing it, not getting very far. I'm like, this is not enjoyable. I'm not having fun at all. What is going on here?
There are some cool dungeons in it. But like, yeah, like the thought to me of like playing it now with using the stick for the sword or whatever, I don't know.
That could hopefully make it better.
Could make it better, but also like
can make it worse.
Give me my real Zelda, please.
Is it $60? Is it coming out at $60?
Yeah, it is 60 bucks. Yeah.
Okay, pass. Okay. Like if it was 40, if you tell me that's 40, okay. Especially since like it's one of those games where my kids might play that. They haven't experienced this yet. It's a new game. They'll play that. $60 though? No. No, thank you.
I don't know.
No,
you put something that
You
put the Zelda logo on something, I'm probably.
You're buying it. You've already bought it in your head.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
I bought it February 20th according to Amazon.
The only thing I'm disappointed with this game is, as far as I could tell, it does not seem to be anything new, I guess, the controls. Because like with like Wind Waker, they fixed like the dungeon, Skyward Sword, you know, they added some. But this one just seems to be a straight up port of the game. There's like no,
it's in HD.
Ish.
Yeah.
You don't have to fight, like if they were like, you don't have to fight Demise like 1,000 times, I'm like, okay, and if you're a lot more interested in this.
Yeah, right.
Or if they tone down Fee so she always speaks, you know, like the first time you come across an item, or if you haven't played in like 6 months, that would be great too. Like I'm not asking for big changes.
Yeah, especially at $60, you kind of wish they like did a little more something with it. But I don't know, man. At the end of the day, like the other thing I was thinking too, I'm like, I don't know. It's like right in the middle of July. Like I don't know if there's anything else right around then that I'm getting. So if it's like in a slightly dry spot for me, I will for sure. Like all right, now I guess I'm playing the worst Zelda.
I mean, it's middle of July, and I don't.
You know, we got stuff coming out next week, and then it's kind of it for me until September ish.
Yeah, I mean, like, Flight Sim comes out end of July.
Oh, yeah.
Chris game comes out in August.
Yeah.
Which game?
Psychonauts 2.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
He's a huge fan. He's counting on the day since he finished the first one.
He can't wait. He's very excited.
And yeah, they're releasing it like right near my birthday too.
It was
like,
happy. Maybe your wife will get it to her. Give it to you. We should suggest that to her.
If she does, I'm going to be like, "What are you doing?" Because I have Game Pass. Please don't do that. Don't spend $60 on that.
Well, that's the other thing too. Is like, think of how much money I am not going to be spending a lot of money on games this year because they all come to me free. So I guess I could buy a Skyward Sword.
This is my thing. Like, I have hardly bought any games this year. I don't need all the games that I really want come out on Game Pass.
And even the ones I don't want, but I'm still interested in. Like,
I am super excited for the new Paradox release coming this fall, Victoria 3. Pumped. I've been waiting for this game for years, and I get to pay $0 for it. It's awesome.
Same thing with Back 4 Blood. That is a game that I'm excited for.
Is that Paradox game coming to Game Pass?
It is. This has already been announced day one for Game Pass. Just like Crusader Kings 3. I was also super excited for that Paradox game. They're all coming to Game Pass now. What the hell? What is happening?
That's why, like, you know, I'm like, I'll probably get Skyward Sword, whatever. Like, it's like, I spent like $200 on games this year. Like,
I don't feel as bad for overspending on that Baldur's Gate remake.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The next one's coming to Game Pass.
Right.
Which, by the way, I'm not working through that again. I literally cannot do any more Mass Effect. I got to Mass Effect 3 and I'm like, I just can't. I can't
take
do
a break. Those games are super long. You can't do that to yourself.
Now I'm back on that port of Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I'm excited for Darker Alliance, which comes out next week.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
That's Tuesday. On Game Pass. Yeah,
got it installed already.
I got it. I got Back 4 Blood installed. I got Fight Sim installed. I mean, it's like I don't gotta pay for you, and I get to install your early. Sure, why not?
Yeah, I went through. I downloaded it's not the full game yet, obviously, but Flight Sim, and I do have Psychonauts 2 installed. And,
worst case is like it's free,
right? Like I'm gonna try it, like.
I think Dark Alliance is the full game right now. It's like pretty small too. Yeah, it's like 22 gigs,
which makes sense. That game's out
Is that what we consider small now?
Yeah, I would these days.
Well, I mean, what Stalker 2? Is that the game that they showcased at the Xbox event? Is 150 gigs? So, yeah, 22 gigs is small.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I think like Master Chief Collection's over 100 gigs, Gears 5's over 100 gigs.
So. Warzone is also like 100 gigs.
Yeah, it's a lot of space for one game. Was there anything else you guys like that stuck out at you? You liked? You didn't like?
I mean, I think we mentioned it in past. Like, I was intrigued by the Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Yeah.
And I will pick it up just because my one concern really right now is that the big takeaway from the movie seemed to be like, oh, we should have these characters talk all the time. And even in that short demo, I was just getting annoyed with them talking constantly.
Yeah.
Because that type of humor does not translate well to video games because it's not nearly as scripted or as, you know, as tight as a movie. So it's just like them constantly trying to spew one-liners that don't work.
Yeah. Outside of the possibly poor writing for the characters, I don't know if the story is going to be bad or not. But did you guys kind of get like a Mass Effect feel from how they're structuring the? It almost feels kind of RPG-ish in a way.
I mean, yeah, it feels very RPG, especially being that it's a squad base, which you control Peter, and then like there's points where you get to, because again there was a very intensive demo at the show.
Yes.
It seemed interesting. I like the fact that they actually used music and the special attacks. I thought that was a really clever and unique thing I don't remember seeing in other video games, like using pop songs as his special. And again, it ties in. Yes, it ties in more to the Guardians of the Galaxy movies than it does any of the comic books, but it still works, and it's something again clever and different. So I give them credit for that. I'm excited for that. What else was there? Because again, most of my focus are on titles out there. Oh, and I don't think we mentioned it. I mentioned it in passing when I was talking about Ubisoft. But yes, the Mario and Rabbids Spark of Joy or whatever it's called. It looks really good. I mean, I'm a fan of the first one, and I think this new one looks better. I like that they're kind of going with the galaxy theme. Well, they're in space, but they literally, like, you see Rosalina and you hear, like, the galaxy theme song when Rabbit Rosalina and stuff like that. So that's really awesome as well. And that is out next year sometime. The one thing I disliked about it, not the game, is like everybody being like, oh, this looks too good for the Switch, right? Wink, wink. I think we're over everybody teasing the Switch Pro until it's announced. Like, I think this
past... Did it look too good for the Switch?
Like, I don't know, dude. I didn't think Mario game looks...
They always look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't think it did, but there were like people were like, wink, wink, doesn't this look too good? And I think what happened is that I think people got wind of this game being announced, and they're like, oh, this is coming, so it must be a Switch Pro game. So they must announce it before E3.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it runs a little better than the last one. I remember the last one did chug a little bit sometimes, but it's hard for me to get excited about that game, to be honest, though, because I never could beat the first one. This game got hard.
It does, yes.
So I'm like, if I really want to play that, I feel like I should play the first one. Or Nintendo should just make Game Pass for Switch.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the first one's usually on sale for like $5 every other week. I'm almost certain it's on sale for like $10 or $15 right now.
No, I'm just saying, like, if I really want to play that type of game, I have one that. I have not beaten.
Yeah. Play that one before you play buy the new one. We got some time because this isn't out till sometime next year. So
yeah, and I think that was. I mean, what else was there? I enjoyed Devolver's show. I have always enjoyed Devolver's show. It's never for the content, though. It's never for the content. It's always because it's very meta and in your face. But yes, I don't remember any games they announced there.
There was. I watched just a compilation of the trailers from there, and there was one I thought looked really neat. I think it was called like Phantom Abyss or something. It's like this first person. It was like first person Tomb Raider. But with like multiple players, but I guess it was only on Steam or whatever. And it's like, oh man.
Don't know.
I think the one that I saw, and this is not a trend I enjoy, there are like I think Imminent Run Game did this as well. There are now kind of those smaller indie titles that are getting physical only releases and they're limited, and it's like, oh, this is the worst of all worlds, because like if you don't want to if you take a risk on paying $40 on a game that may or may not be good and it turns out to be awful, but like say it turns out to be great and like everybody tells you, it's like, oh, I can't buy it anymore because the run's over and it's not digital anymore. So
I don't like that approach to it, like, because they to get that game published, you know, they're signing this contract with that you know, publishing company for physical release, and their contract pretty much says like you cannot release this digitally. Like, this is it. This is the only way to get this game. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of lame. The game will be worth some money though,
right? And that's the other thing. Like, how many people are actually going to even play the game? Because
I remember thinking it looked cool. I can't remember exactly what it was, like a top-down 2D thing.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Anyway, well, so that was E3.
Woo!
It was a thing. That's evidently not over yet.
See you in 2024 when E3 is over.
But I guess kind of tying into E3 though. I played a pair of demos of games shown at E3. I played that Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origins demo.
Yuffie name. Oh, you both Greenix.
It's terrible. That's a terrible, terrible title. It's so bad. I don't know. People were like, oh, it's Final Fantasy Dark Souls. I mean, maybe. I don't know. It felt more like Ninja Gaiden Final Fantasy. But like when you hit a save point, so you have potions and you go to these save points and it refills your potions.
Kind of. You didn't know that Dark Souls invented save points.
Yeah. I mean, what? Evidently. And it also brings the enemies back, you know, kind of like a campfire and or bonfire in Dark Souls. When you go to the, you know, you save. When you sit down, it resets the world. So if you go back to an area that you had just cleared, all the enemies are back. But to me, it played more like Ninja Gaiden, just with different types of classes. So what I could play, what I did play in the demo was a swordsman, a magic user, and a lancer who uses like a spear. I don't know. They felt good. They felt more like Devil May Cry or Ninja Gaiden than Dark Souls. That game's kind of ugly, though. They better clean up the environments and the characters. The writing is really bad, which people have been making fun of, like, I am chaos and that type of shit. Like, it's not great. But people were making fun of the main character, Jack, and his t-shirt that he's wearing. You're out of that t-shirt, like, after the first battle. Because, like, you start getting armor pickups, and he's in more ridiculous traditional Final Fantasy zippers and chains everywhere and flared collars, and like it looks like Final Fantasy shortly afterwards. But yeah, that game is up on PS5. The demo is, it's only available till the 22nd or 24th, something like that. It's a limited time demo. I'm interested in seeing what more of that game is. So, and I also played Tunic, just a little fox game. I don't know if I like that. It's like
did you beat the demo?
I did not.
Me neither.
Oh no,
it got hard. it's kind of Zelda-ish,
kind of
in its combat, but it also has a. Kind of that Dark Souls mechanic of, you know, you get to a save point and the world will refresh if you utilize it. I don't know.
Also, if you die, you can make it back to your coins that you'll drop.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah, so it's not a roguelike, or it's not a rogue type game, but yeah, it has that mechanic of pick your shit up after you die. I don't know. I didn't love it.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I don't know. I honestly meant to go back and finish the demo, and I have not. Like, I made it to like there's like a dungeon you will eventually reach. I don't know if you've made it to that.
No,
like underground area.
I think I made it like past the first campfire type area. Then I died, and I was like, "Nah, I'm good."
Like right past that campfire.
Okay.
There's like a ladder that goes into the ground, and then all of a sudden you're in a dungeon and it starts to get a little difficult and stuff, but like I actually like some of the feel of the combat. Like it has like the roll dodge move, you mm-hmm. know, like that's not really like a Zelda type thing you think of. Like that's like more in an action game. But it's like the slow kind of deliberate combat, but then like once you get in the dungeon, there's these enemies that will roll up on you and then they'll explode. So if you like, even if you kill the enemy, you got to get out of the way after you kill it, cause it'll explode and kill you. And so then you got to use that roll move. Like, I don't know. Like it was a game where I was like, I would play more of this. I'm not like blown away by any means.
It's coming to Game Pass though, so
yeah. So I guess I will play more of it.
Yeah, and who knows? Like, right? Like, you know, the demo kicks off, and it's basically like this is not like indicative of a final game. It's the game's still in development, and this is kind of a remix of some of the stuff. That you'll see in the game, so it may ramp up, right? Like as you said, like there's the roll move, You know, it might have a better kind of onboarding than the demo did, that I was just like, oh, okay, I kind of get the feel for this, but I don't really know why I'm collecting stuff, and I don't really know what the purpose is other than to move forward. But visually, it looks all right. Like, but it does look like an indie game.
Like, yeah.
But cute. So.
Yeah.
You guys try any of the other demos that are up on Xbox?
Not yet, because I went to look for them yesterday and I could not find them, and I just kind of gave up.
I found Tunic by searching Tunic. I don't know where.
I mean, I saw links for Tunic. Everybody's like,
yeah, I have Tunic, but I just assumed there'd be like a thing on the front page.
No,
they're only there for a week. That it's like, because I went to the store. I'm like, where do you find them in the store?
When does Tunic actually come out? Do we know?
I don't know.
All I saw was how do I get the real game?
Wasn't it announced like 2-3 years ago too? Like,
yeah, it's been going on for a while.
It's out sometime this year. That's all you need to concern yourself with.
Planned release date to be determined. Still,
sweet.
So, yeah, it's not like last year though, Earl. There's no page, I don't think, that's like, oh, here's the E3 demos or the Summer Game Fest demos.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah, there should be a page for them. But yeah, there is a list of them out there, and if you do search by the game title, you'll be able to find them.
Yeah, I have a stuff in front of me now. I'll go through and find. I do want to check out the Sable game. Yeah.
By the Hyper Light Drifter guys.
Yes. Oh, that did remind me of one of my pet peeves from not E3, but I guess in general, and I feel like I curse myself, is that like I always wanted game to have more specific genres. And then like people would start talking, it's like, okay, this is like Dark Souls inspired rogue like meta commentary, MMORPG with some light grind. And I'm like, okay, I didn't need you to be that specific. I don't need 7 words to describe your genre. That's too many. Because I forget what game it was. They came up. There was actually a trailer like that, I think, at Microsoft show, where it has like the different. It was like a survival card, and like it was like each one would be like a card that they'd pan to. I'm like, again, I don't need this many words to describe what your game is. It actually just kind of takes me out of it. I'm always saying that because one of the games here is a base-building survival game with action RPG elements. And I'm just like, yeah, that's too much. I'm happy it explains it, but I'm like, I'm just kind of turned off reading all of that.
Yeah, it's a lot of words. Did you guys play anything else this week?
Zombies. We played zombies.
We did. That was
still fun.
It was a good pair of the. I thought the story mission we played was pretty good. The zoo,
yes.
And the horde map we played, which was in the snow. I thought they were both pretty good.
Yeah.
The one thing about the zoo, I kind of like wish there was like you should be fighting like a zombie elephant or like
zombie tiger.
Right. There should be like zombie zoo creatures here to battle and not just. Zombies.
Sounds like you need to speak to Mr. Zack Snyder.
Exactly.
I mean, this isn't a complaint. It's just really funny. I think we all had the same thought. It's like, I think it's just in the game that we're just so OP now that we're just like burst through like stages.
Right.
Because it's like these things used to be hunger, right? It's like, oh no, we just have all these powerful weapons now. Like, I think we all have like, snipers that give us back health now.
Yeah. I just walk up with my shotgun and shoot a zombie, and as I'm shooting that zombie, it electrocutes the 5 zombies standing around it. I'm like,
yeah, oh. I think mine does explosive damage like that.
Mine sets them on fire, so like, yeah. we're just like all sorts of elemental damage on top of regular damage, on top of having like we probably all have bigger clips and higher damage on the guns as well, and.
It's like, oh, it's that zombie who can all be shot in the heart. Oh, he's dead. Never mind. Hey, there's a sniper. Oh, he's dead. That's how it feels every time now.
Yeah. I thought we had 8 more levels to go. It's only 5.
We're close. Maybe two more sessions. We'll get all the way to the end.
Yeah. Probably like skip a horde map and just do some straight campaign on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. I played Ratchet.
That looks really gorgeous.
It is.
It made me try to buy a PS5 today.
Again?
It didn't work. It's been months since I tried, and guess what? It was the same as the last time I tried.
You still can't get one. Still, it's illegal.
Well, just keep it in mind, Jeff, that like when you do get one, you'll have games to play on it because
sure. Now there's two games. There's Demon's Souls and Ratchet.
Yep, and Astrobot, which comes with it, which is
excellent
platformer. Good, yeah. And you know, my guess is with Zelda slipping to sometime next year that Horizon might actually make it this year.
We hope.
You'd have that as well. But yeah, Ratchet's really good. It is still a Ratchet game. I'm not sure, outside of the fact that like it loads super fast and detail and particles and the worlds are bigger as well. But I'm not 100% sold that like this could only be done on a PlayStation 5.
Oh no.
The rifts are not what you think they are. Like they kind of sold it on, oh, you're gonna go through these rifts and go to different dimensions, and like it's not really what happens. They're kind of, there's these rifts that you'll use in the game, and basically they're just like grapple points. And you'll instantly, like, it's not even instant, like it's like a second or two, but it'll pull you towards like that location, and you're now like behind the enemies that were there. So it's a cool like combat thing. But the ones that are actually like, oh, you're going to a different level, it's what they call pocket dimensions. And it's basically just like a mini level that's purple within the other level. Like it's not, you're not doing these, the game kind of sold you on, oh, you're going to be jumping through these rifts and it's going to go from one dimension to a completely other dimension that's huge and sprawling. And it's not what it is, but there's cool effects. The game plays great. I kind of want a game with Rivet and her new counterpart, Kit. So there's Ratchet and Clank, who we're all familiar with, and then in this alternate dimension is another Lombax, Rivet, and her robot counterpart to Clank is Kit, who is this like little yellow bumblebee type looking robot, and they're really cool. I enjoy both of them a lot, and I would play a game with both of them. But it is it's a Ratchet and Clank game. I am glad that people are really enjoying it, but it is also it's a very similar game to what Insomniac has been making for 20 years.
And I mean, sometimes that's all you need, especially when this is the first new one in almost a decade.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not complaining.
Aren't you one of those people?
No, I am not complaining about it. Like, I love the game.
You said you're glad people are enjoying it. I'm like, aren't you?
I'm very glad people are enjoying it because, like, it's all Ratchet, right? Like, it's never kind of gotten the high. This is the first time ever it's gotten a high profile, really, on Sony. Like, it's always kind of been. It was the mascot platforming game that kind of pulled through, right? Like out of the PS2 era, like it outlasted Jak and Daxter, which didn't make it off the PS2. And it outlasted Sly Cooper, mostly because Insomniac just keeps pumping out great games in it. But like, I don't know. It's not like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is game changer. It's a Ratchet and Clank game. Like, y'all should have been playing these games beforehand. Like, but I'm glad people are liking it now.
But is it like, you think it's like one of the better looking games on the PS5?
For sure. It is a beautiful game. The crazy thing is, though, we played Ratchet and Clank Into the Nexus for Video Game Club, and that game's on PS3. And that game, like, still looks really fucking good. Like, it's similar to how, you know, what Nintendo does with Mario or Zelda. They have an art style they go with. It works really well. This one obviously looks like way better. Like, metal has a shine to it that you don't get in the older games, but those games have always looked good. And this one, you know, this one looks excellent as well. So it's a go play Ratchet and Clank if you have a PS5.
All right, I have one of those. Jeff, I can send you a video of me playing mine.
All right, cool. Sounds good. It's pretty much the same thing.
It's a game that, like, I think, you know, anybody can play. Like, there's lots of great accessibility options to it. Seems like the way they've set up the trophies and everything, like, just about anybody will be able to get the platinum on it. So it's, yeah, that's a lot of fun. And they've done a good job of making it playable for everyone. So, like, even, you know, people that don't have a lot of skill in these types of games, they have assists that you can utilize. And then, you know, it goes all the way up to, like, harder difficulties that will present you some challenge. So it's a good time. Jeff, you were on vacation, so you didn't play a whole lot for the last week.
Back to my Baldur's Gate.
You burned out on Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Don't do Earl, that to yourself.
Yeah, you need to take a break.
That's right. I love Mass Effect 2. It's my favorite game of all time. I played Mass Effect 1. I finished it 2 weeks ago. Have not touched Mass Effect 2 yet. You need a break.
I've been playing them straight because I don't have a lot of other things to play. And with Mass Effect 2, I, like, played the shit out of that game. Like, I did not everything, but I did a lot. I did a lot of stuff in it. And then
it's a big game. It is a big game.
Yeah.
And this version specifically is even bigger than probably what we played.
And anybody played, right? Yeah. Like, you get all the DLC, all of it.
Yeah, I did play through all that. And the DLC is really cool. And then, you know, I went straight into 3. It's not like 3 is so far super bad or anything. I'm like, I am done. Done about hearing about the collectors and the reapers and all
that. That's just it's all done. Like burnout. It's burnout. Yeah. You can't play, like, that must put you at, like, what, 120 hours or so of Mass Effect at this point?
Yeah. Probably at least pushing 100 at least, probably. Yeah.
It's a lot. Like, I can't. I always go back to, like, Witcher 3, which is one of my favorite games of all time. It was Game of the Year. It came out. I have never finished that game. I've tried to play through it 3 times. I will never finish it because it's just, there's so much. I can only stand so much of a single game.
Yeah, you just want, like, a palate cleanser, you know? You want something different.
Yeah. And then you're like, you come back and you're like, it's been 2 months later. You're like, I don't remember how to do anything.
Yeah, should I start over? Yeah.
That's why when, like, years ago, like, you know, when we were younger in high school or whatever, like, you hear, oh, like
years ago, 20 years ago when we were in high school.
But, like, I mean, that was when, like, I would hear, like, oh, like, Xenogears is, like, it's a 60 to 70 hour game, or this new Final Fantasy is, like, a 70 hour game. It's like, oh, that's awesome, right? Because, like, I only bought, like, maybe 3 or 4 games a year. But now I don't have, like, I mean, I play a lot, but I don't have the patience or the time to, like, sit there and play 100 hours on one game. So when I hear that, it's almost a turnoff, actually. Like, oh, this game is 70, 80, 100 hours long. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons Persona 5 Royale sits on my PlayStation 5 untouched on the, because I make, no matter how many times people say it, I'm like, okay. People say it's like 100 hours. I'm like, is that like a way to shorten that to like half of that? Honestly, like a quarter. If a game's like 20 to 25 hours is kind of my max these days. I guess I don't know how long it is, and then I'm like, I'm cool with it. The only major exception seems to be the Xenoblade game, because I put in 70 to 75 hours into those games. I mean, there's two of them over the span of a decade, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, like, I played through Dark Souls 1 and 2 this year, and I did not feel fatigue after playing through both of them. Like, I was satisfied by the end of 2. I was good. I moved on to other stuff, but, like, you know, I think 2 alone, I put almost 100 hours in, and didn't feel it.
Mass Effect?
Did I say Mass Effect?
Oh, no, what did you say?
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls.
Are the Dark Souls games that long?
Well, it's like the Dark Souls games could be beaten shorter, but like they could also not. You know what I mean? Like you could kind of fuck around.
But I mean, that's different. I think there's a difference between like, oh, I'm gonna screw around. Like I don't want to talk about how many hours. I mean, honestly, it's now days that I put into Fortnite over quarantine. So that's different. Like,
yeah.
I have no problem thinking of, but it's mentally, it's one thing if it's like. I, for example, I put over almost 200 hours into Animal Crossing. But that's more like, because Animal Crossing, you don't go in with Animal Crossing is going to take me 200 hours to beat. It's different than like, okay, it's going to take me 200 hours.
I think a good example is like Breath of the Wild. Like, you could beat Breath of the Wild. I mean, shit, you could beat it in an hour.
Yes.
But, you know, if you want to really explore that game, you could easily put in over 100 hours in one playthrough.
Yeah.
And again, but yeah, what I'm getting, it's like, that's fine. Yes. It's like when the 100 hours is the playthrough. It's not like you're deciding it. It's like, if you want to actually see the end of this game, you're going to give us enough. Yes. So like when people, like I said, Battle Royale is up there. Where it's like, I've heard good things about it. Everybody tells me like, just get ready for a long game. Like, that's not helping. If it's like I got Final Fantasy VII R, and like that's 20 to 25 hours, I would be fine with that. The reason I haven't started that is a lot of people say that game is a chore near the end, where it just kind of feels like it's failure after failure to pad out the runtime.
Yeah, the last 5 hours or so of that game, up until you get to the final area. Is like you're just running up, you're running up a tower and fighting enemies over and over again.
Hate when games do that.
Yeah,
Immortals.
You still sad over the fact, Jeff, that my 11-year-old beat it faster than you did?
I don't know. It's fine. It was a fine game. Great game. My favorite game.
That final area is not great. I do like that game.
I hate games too that like make you fight all the bosses again, shit like that at the end. It's like, dude, can I just see the ending? You're not showing me anything new.
My son is like, oh, I fought this guy before. This is easy.
Yeah.
I think that's an old school. It depends on how you fight the boss again. I think ideally, if it's a test of like, oh, look how strong you've gotten at the end of the game, and the people you had struggled with in hour one, you can now just like solo shot them. I think that's awesome. Where it's like, oh no, we're going to make these people be a pain in the ass to you again, and we're not going to give you any health or anything in between it.
And here's two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Show me the fucking end cutscene.
Yeah.
Please.
Here's a boss rush, and also you're not going to get any equipment.
And we need you to do it one hand, tied behind your back, and eyes closed, because we really want to show you that you got... No, what I want is at the end of the game, you give me that stuff where it's like, yes, you are a god king now.
Yeah, make me feel like a god, where like I'm rolling over these guys that were tough at me. Like, that's fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you go fight the final boss, and he puts up a little bit more of a fight.
Yes. Yeah. But then it's like, okay, then you set the stage for the boss is tougher, but you've really improved since then.
Yeah. See, we should be video game designers. These guys don't know what they're doing.
Uh-huh. Just put some numbers in the computer and appears. Look at this game I made. It took me 10 minutes. Why does it take you 4 years to design a game? What's wrong with you?
You know what game does that really well, and it's back from the original Nintendo, but the original Final Fantasy has you do a boss rush as you're going through the 9 levels of the final area, and the last 4 areas before the final boss are you fight the 4 big bosses, but each, you know, it's just like Earl said, like, now you're tough, so you're just kind of like walking over the 4 elemental bosses. And then you have to fight Chaos, and he's a bitch. But I think that's a good way of handling it. Speaking of which, we didn't bring it up, but that was a huge disappointment. They announced the Final Fantasy 1-6 collection, and then said it's only coming to Steam, to PC and mobile.
What?
No. Okay, just to clarify. Because Connection implies that they're bundled together.
They are, and they aren't bundled together, but they did call it a collection, but they are not bundled together. They're being sold separately.
I've been watching people like melt down over that. That was awesome. I mean, I have no stake in it at all, because like,
those are old games. They're not like remasters or anything, right? They're just like,
no, they're not really. They are improved pixels, like, but they are the original. I guess they are going back to the original pixel style as opposed to the remakes that they did of them and released on mobile a few years ago. So, which is what people wanted, but not how, like, they're like mobile or PC. Like, these are console games. People want them on the Switch. They want them on the PlayStation, Xbox. It was funny. And yes, Jeff, everybody fucking was melting down over it.
Enjoy, like, even when it's, like, kind of happening to me, too, like, I enjoy the pain. It makes me laugh. Like, the fucking Zelda, like, we have nothing more than that. Like, we have nothing more for the anniversary. It's like, that affects me, but it's also fucking funny as shit, so I can't be too mad about it.
It's like next level trolling.
Yeah.
They don't know they're trolling, which is what's even better.
I will say the one weird thing is I had to, because I guess the way he worded it is that we have no other but collection or celebration.
We have no other Zelda games planned for the anniversary.
And it was so weird because I saw people say, like, oh, that means there's no other Zelda games on the Switch after Brook. I'm like, wait, where did you get that from?
No, that's bad. That's a bad interpretation.
Like, my interpretation was, like, they didn't want to get in trouble for doing, like, a ROM dump of Zelda games. And clearly, COVID hit them in a place where they couldn't do, like you know, like, they couldn't port, like, Twilight Princess and Wind Waker HD this year or something like that. And I think they just didn't want people to get that expectation because, like, I mean, really, it's just because Mario got the All-Stars, it got the Mario 35, it got the Game & Watch, it got the Mario Kart Live, it got Mario 3D World, just Bowser's Fury, where this is getting Skyward Sword and Age of Calamity DLC.
Yeah. I don't know where they got that either, Earl. It made no sense to me when I saw that. Like, what are these crazy people talking about? All right. Well, I believe that Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance comes out the 22nd. So we may have some impressions of that next week. And I think might be time to do a Hall of Fame induction.
Finally induct Mass Effect 2? Can we make like an exception for everything? Bring it in. Mass Effect 2 is the game.
If Mass Effect 2 had its chance in the sun. It had its opportunity, and it did not.
And it got eclipsed by a game that is far superior to. I'm just saying. Jeff regrets his choice. He regrets it.
No.
He does. I can hear it in his voice. He says no, but he actually regrets it.
His no is not a no. Yeah, so bring your Hall of Fame entries for next week. And,
nominating Mass Effect 2.
bring your Hall of Fame entries from 2006 or before.
Mass what? Effect 2, time traveled. Surprise, guys.
You threw it into a dimensional portal and it popped out in 2006.
That's right. Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Amazing. that's a 2010 game.
I hate all of you. I hate
when was Mass Effect 1? 2007. So it's not even eligible.
Nope.
Another year for that. All right. Yeah. Bring them. Anybody listening, check our Twitter feed. Send in your nominees for the listener entry. So we'll get those five entries in for part one to join Resident Evil, which was the winner of our March Madness tournament over Mass Effect 2.
I'll nominate Mass Effect 2 again.
You will just get your heart broken again.
We'll have to think of a tournament for the fall, Tony.
Best Mass Effect game.
it's a four game tournament. yeah, and that one would definitely win.
That does give me an idea now. Best Game of the Year tournament. They take a Game of the Year from, and then so that way we wouldn't have to pick. We just kind
of we could literally do the games of the years we've selected on the podcast and do that. That would be fun.
But there wouldn't be enough. Would there be an even number of matchups?
No. We'd have 10.
My God, we've been doing this for 10 years.
11? We'd have 11. So we'd have to throw in some more. But.
Mass Effect 2.
Yes.
Oh. Mass Effect 2.
And watch Mass Effect 2 still lose.
It probably would. Didn't we do like Final Fantasy 15 one year? What were we thinking that year, by the way?
We did. Yeah.
I blame Peter for that. He's not here anymore. I blame him.
I mean, he pushed through, and I did second that, and I think you and Tony, you and Jeff are split on yes. what you wanted that year. So.
Yes, we were wrong that year. By the way, we could have picked a different game.
Yeah,
sounds like you could have, but you didn't.
It sounds like I did, and other people did not. So I'm.
Well, we'll figure that out. But next week, Hall of Fame, that's not Game of the Year or Mass Effect 2.
I'm nominating Mass Effect 2. I don't care what happens.
All right. We'll be back then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.